is Saturday, September 23rd, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, broadcasting from the very hot Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org to listen to the archives of this program. Select my name in RBN's archive section. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net or Hooley'sBlog.blogspot.com. I also invite you to visit ScreeningSandyHook.net. During the program, email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Do not send questions to my regular email, as I do not view them during the program. Please also visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. We probably will not take calls until the end of the third hour. You may view our guest lineup at spingola.com. In addition to the links for each guest, I also have some other interesting links relative to the guest and his or her subject. Our guest today for the first hour is Dr. Daniel C. Potts. His website is danielcpotts.wordpress.com. He is the co-author of Finding Joy in Alzheimer's, New Hope for Caregivers. His co-author is Marie Marley. I believe that the book, Finding Joy in Alzheimer's, New Hope for Caregivers, should be essential reading not only for caregivers, but for anyone who is in the least bit associated with someone who has Alzheimer's, which is so pervasive today. Additionally, it is a book that would increase an individual's skills and understanding in his or her interactions with others. It is about respecting and appreciating people in whatever situation in which they find themselves. Dr. Potts created the foundation CognitiveDynamics.org. He is a neurologist who champions life-affirming care for those living with Alzheimer's or dementia and their care partners. He is on the staff at Tuscaloosa, Virginia Medical Center and is the founder and president of Cognitive Dynamics Foundation and medical director at Dementia Dynamics. Through these two institutions, He inspires hope for others. He gained increased empathy and understanding through caring for his father, Lester, who became an acclaimed watercolor artist in the throes of Alzheimer's disease. This is just a remarkable book, and I can tell from reading it that Dr. Potts is a remarkable person. Welcome to the program.
Deanna, thank you. It is a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I got so much from the book, and I get very emotional because of the subject matter and because I'm associated with somebody who has this issue. So I just get emotional. I'll try not to, but I can't promise anything.
Because, well, I completely understand that because, I've been through it too in my family. So you let it be, because that's one of the important things, is that we, you know, express ourselves as care partners, because it's tough, very, very tough.
It is tough. And the book was so incredibly helpful. I know that there are caregivers who experience anger. They experience sadness, and all these things are part of the process. But you explain specifically why people feel anger. And then, yes, you explain that people feel that way, but then you explain how to work through it and what to do. And it's just such a remarkable book. I hope that people will read it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I must say to you that it was an honor to collaborate with Dr. Marie Marley on this book. Marie is quite an authority on caregiving and on this condition as well. And when she reached out, she actually had the idea for the book. I want to give her credit for that. but we had collaborated in some ways on some writings and blogs and that sort of thing. And she said, you know, hey, I've got this idea. Would you join me? And I said, sure, because I think this is so important to infuse some hope, you know, in what can be a situation that is very dark and very trying. So, you know, we tried to do that, and through mostly telling stories, you know, telling our own experiences, telling the stories of people we've spoken with, we've interacted with, and hopefully it does give some people some light there. So thank you for what you said.
The examples that you give are, everyone loves a story. It immediately appeals to everyone because we all enjoy a story. And the stories are thought-provoking, they're educational, and they give examples of what to do, what not to do, as well as the list that you include in the book of things not to do, things that people would do when they shouldn't be doing those things. And I would like to go over some of those lists. I have so many. I bought the book as a Kindle because I wanted to immediately read it. And so I have put so many notes and post-it notes. And your experience with your father and your initial experience of denial, which is one of the things that people experience early on, you experienced it too. And you expressed why and how, and it's just it was just so educational. And Marie, oh my goodness, her stories, they were funny. Some of her experiences with the people that she visited were funny, and it's just a wonderful book.
Well, I thank you. You know, you said things that really resonate with me, and one is that stories really move us and are really powerful tools of communication. That's what I've always believed. I was one of those little boys who, you know, instead of going out after family meals, you know, to play with my cousins, I sat up around the old people so that I could hear their stories. You know, I really appreciate the power of stories, and always have, and so did my dad. And one of the things that we found with Dad, and this is true with many with Alzheimer's and other dementias, is that they lose the ability to relate their stories to others. They lose the ability, because of loss of language and loss of memory, to relate these life stories. But in Dad's case, the art enabled him to express himself, express his story. And this was one of the primary lessons we learned from dealing with Dad, is that there are other means by which people with these conditions, can express their stories. They can do it through music. They can do it through art, through reminiscence, through any number of means. And so that you're giving somebody a voice, you know, that whose voice is being taken away. That's a powerful thing.
Now, you were an only child. Your father was well known in the community. He was very strong. He'd never participated or never. He was not an artist until after he had this issue. And it is just amazing that he was able to be creative and communicate in this way. That is just amazing to me that he didn't lose. He was still the same person. His skills just changed.
Deanna, that's exactly right. You know, Dad was a utilitarian child of the Great Depression era. He was about work. He was about being productive. He was not a very aesthetic soul. You know, he appreciated beautiful things, but he was not someone who would sit down and do that. So we had never seen him draw or create anything except to scale it off to build it, you know. And so when he was fortunate enough to attend Caring Days Adult Daycare in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is a faith-based daycare facility for people with dementia, he was able to attend there, and they had an art program. Well, my mother didn't feel like that he was going to do that, you know. You can try it, she said, but Lester's not going to do that. Well, lo and behold, he did it. Not only did he do it, but he excelled at it and enjoyed it, and he looked forward to it every day. And he brought home a little hummingbird, the very first painting and a little 9x14 canvas watercolor. And he showed it to my mother. My mother said, "Oh, honey, who gave you that beautiful bird?" "I did it." She said, "Oh, you traced it? How did you?" She didn't believe he had done it. And it gave him so much pride and joy over 3 to 4 years after that. Because, he was losing his ability to do other things that he could always do, build things, fix things, do things with his hands. The most amazing thing is to me that he was so good with his hands, but he lost the ability to use his hands and his dexterity suffered, but not when he was creating art. There was something deeper with the art, you see, that enabled him to coordinate those actions and to do that. I really have never seen anything like it. But since then, of course, I've become a believer in the art and music and drama and other arts therapies. They do work. And so, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I'm amazed, and we've been looking at this art for several years now.
What is so amazing to me, and a lot of caregivers feel that they have an obligation to take care of their spouse or their parent, and not put them in a facility or allow them to go to a daycare center because they might feel guilty. But actually, when the caregiver lets go a bit and allows people who are trained to bring out these, like the skills that your father had, where there's opportunity, where at home you can't, one cannot usually provide all of those stimulating activities, where in this facility that you took him to, the caring center, they were trained to help these people, to work with them, to bring out the best, to bring out who they were. And you quote somebody in your book, "Because you're not what I would have you be, I blind myself to who in truth you are." Well, the people at the facility weren't biased by what they knew about the person. They just saw your dad and others as somebody that they could help in whatever way they could.
That's exactly right, and that is one of the bedrock truths of this program and whole experience we had with Dad, and that is that you have to meet the person that you see today. You cannot search out and look for the person as they were 15 or 20 years ago. Now, the core of that individual is the same, and that's important to remember. This personhood does not go away. It is imparted to an individual, I believe. We can't lose our personhood, but because our faculties are affected, we can't express that as we normally could. So therefore, I can't relate to Dad as I used to be able to, because that's not fair for me to hold Dad accountable to be exactly like he was for me 15 years ago, you see. So the people at Caring Days were very adept at meeting Lester, the Lester that they met at the door every day, and interacting with him, honoring his gifts, not focusing on his weaknesses, focusing what he can still do. And often folks like that, that are not connected as family members or that don't know the individual before, they're better at it than we are. See, they've got some distance. They don't prejudge the situation. And so that's an important point. We have to meet them where they are and love them like that.
Indeed. And that, I think, if nothing else, that is the main message of the book, is to accept people for where they are and not try to put them in a box as the person that we used to know, and not be angry because they're not doing the things that they did 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Correct?
That's right, because they can't help it. They wouldn't choose to be like this. They're going through loss and trying to do the best they can with this, and it behooves us to not consider them as being in control of these actions. They're not. They're doing the best they can. You know, you mentioned caregiver guilt. Gosh, I went through it. We went through that. It's so common. It's almost universal. You know, we're guilty. We feel guilty when we do anything for ourselves when we're a caregiver. We feel guilty that if we have to leave our care partner and go do something else, but it's important for us to realize that we have to take care of our own health, or we certainly can't take care of someone else's health, you know.
And a lot of caregivers actually do have health issues because of their situation of being the caregiver, because maybe they're not doing it right, they're expecting too much, they're just not... They want to be in control sometimes.
That's right. And one of the things we learn early on, and I know you've probably been through this as well, you cannot control this situation. You're completely out of control of Alzheimer's and other dementias, and you have to let that go and do the best you can each day. It is so important to be compassionate, to be loving, to be kind. So when in doubt, be kind, but do not try to remain in control. It's impossible. You have to be flexible with this.
That's pretty hard.
Gosh, is it? One caregiver, actually a famous caregiver, Naomi Feil, who was one of the founders of person-centered care that we have now, said, it's learning to be independent in a dependent situation, which, you know, our brain doesn't like those dichotomies like that. But that's exactly what it is.
Indeed. I love lists because I'm I just like lists. And there's a list that you have that are really the early signs of Alzheimer's. And it's very, very interesting that they're so subtle. Some of these signs are so subtle that particularly if you're living with the individual, they're so subtle that you may not notice. And then by the time you notice them, they're right in the depth of Alzheimer's.
Separating out normal cognitive difficulties with aging, which we're all going to get, separating those out from early dementia can be quite challenging at times. And, you know, one of the things that's always present with Alzheimer's disease is, you know, short-term memory loss to some degree. That is one of the very earliest signs. So people forgetting, you know, where they've put things, forgetting to pay a bill, you know, not being able to come up with the appropriate directions, forgetting names of familiar people, that sort of thing. And especially if it interferes with your daily life, that's one of the definitions of dementia. It has to interfere with your normal functioning. And so, but it is subtle. It is subtle to start with.
Yes, and of course, the person, at least in many cases, tries to hide this. And you mentioned short-term memory. People with this situation can remember things from 20 years ago, but they can't remember what they did the day before.
That is correct, because the part of the brain that's primarily being affected early on is what I would call the save button. It's the hippocampus, HIPPOCAMPUS, which is in the temporal lobe of the brain. This is the save button. New information comes into this area, and then it's distributed elsewhere. So this is not working right. So you got new information coming in. You can't hold on to it and save it. So therefore, what did I eat for breakfast? I'm not sure, you know. Do I have a clinic appointment today with my physician? Don't know. But I remember playing marbles with my brother 50 years ago.
Right. All righty. We're going to take a short 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest the first hour today is Dr. Daniel C. Potts. His website is danielcpotts.wordpress.com. He is the co-author of Finding Joy in Alzheimer's, New Hope for Caregivers. Just the title alone is inviting. It's appealing. It's when you first read it, when you first look at the title, you think, how can that happen? Especially when you're feeling hopelessness, which many caregivers feel. And the co-author of this wonderful, wonderful book is Marie Marley, and she has a website, comebackearlytoday.com. It's a great book. Dr. Potts, what a wonderful book.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you saying that. A lot of people, when we first determined what the title of the book would be, questioned the title. How could you imply that there's anything joyful that can come out of a situation like this? But we felt strongly that we wanted to use that title because, as we all know, if we've been through any hardship, joy can come out of trouble and suffering, and a lot of it depends on our, you know, being intentional about it, our trying to see the light, you know, our trying to be positive and hopeful and grow from such an experience as this. I don't take away, and Maria and I would dare not take away anything from the hardship that individuals who have the condition are going through at all. I mean, I have no idea what that must be like, but we can make their lives better and our lives better by keeping a positive attitude, counting our blessings, being grateful every single day that we're alive and that we can have a relationship with these people and, you know, that's why we chose to name the book the, you know, what we named it.
And as you indicated, basically is that strength comes from the struggle. But the person, the caregiver, has to be open to changing. You cannot change what is happening to the individual. You cannot change a person who is experiencing dementia or Alzheimer's. You have to change. You have to adapt to where they are and not be angry that they're changing, because they're not, it's not their fault.
You're exactly right. If a caregiver or care partner becomes angry and is living in anger because of what is going on, that is a road to unsuccessful caregiving, believe me. Because if you dig your heels in and you're in denial and you're kicking and screaming along the way, guess what? You're going to do worse, and your loved one is going to do worse. So you might as well accept reality and say, you know, this is very, very unfortunate. However, we're going to make the most of it. One of my mentors, who is both a theologian and caregiver for his wife, said, "My dear, these are going to be the best days of our lives, and this is going to be the most enriching time that we're going to spend together." And in fact, he saw to it that was the case by having this intentional, hopeful attitude, focusing on positives, you know, not being unrealistic about it. And you know what? We can learn a lot from people like that.
Yes. You cannot change other people. You can only change your reaction to them.
Yes, absolutely. Reactivity is so important. Emotional reactivity. If I'm presented with a loved one who is having a behavior that is hard to deal with, perhaps there's a need that he or she can't express, and that comes across as agitation, and then I get agitated at that person, that's emotional reactivity, and the relationship is going south quickly, because what happens is they mirror my emotional tone, so then they get more agitated, and before you know it, nobody's going to be able to do anything. So it's important to be, you know, calm, even keel. Don't let yourself get angry. Do not argue with a person with Alzheimer's or dementia. That's one of the ground rules, which is so hard, but you just can't do it.
It is really difficult.
Of course it is, because we are all humans, and we have buttons that, you know, a person with Alzheimer's or dementia, they can remember, if they are hurting, yes, and if they have needs, how to push people's buttons. That's normal.
Sure.
We all do that.
Sure. Okay, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest the first hour is Dr. Daniel C. Potts. He is a neurologist. He is the co-author of Finding Joy in Alzheimer's, New Hope for Caregivers. And I promise you, there is hope in this book. His co-author is Marie Marley. Her website is comebackearlytoday.com. And I can't say enough good things about this book. It's just in the week since I've been reading it, it has altered my behavior tremendously. It has been so helpful. Can't say enough good things about it. Now, you mentioned in the book about the importance of gaining or obtaining an early diagnosis.
Yes. You know, this is critical because, for several reasons. One, the individual with dementia deserves the right to know that there's something wrong, because they often will jump to the conclusion that the family thinks they're crazy. You know, they use the term a lot. And they need to know that there's a medical diagnosis here, just like I need to know if I've got diabetes or I need to know if I've got cancer, because I'm the one that has it. So, and that really is the most compassionate thing to do. There used to be some argument about, you know, whether, you know, it would upset people to know that what they had, but the thing is that studies seem to show that no, it upsets them not to know what they have. So it's important for them to know. So then you can move ahead and make plans. You know, one of the things that you need to do is, while the person is still able to communicate their wishes, then you need to outline all of those things that they need to do with their health care. You know, You know, what do they want at end of life? Who's going to be power of attorney? Who's going to, you know, make some decisions when I can't make them anymore? That sort of thing. And so those are important. And it's important for families to know what to expect. We get a diagnosis, now we can know what to expect down this road, so you can make plans. And I should mention, Dana, that dementia and Alzheimer's, I need to probably put a definition out here. Dementia is the loss of cognitive ability that's severe enough to affect daily life. And Alzheimer's is one type of dementia. So it is one type. And so dementia is really kind of a symptom or a syndrome, and Alzheimer's is one type of that.
I see. And how does one convince the person to go to the doctor if they're resistant?
That's a very good question. Oh, this comes up all the time. So I should say that you may not be able to convince them to do that. And the issue may be forced. For instance, if somebody has a fender bender, or if somebody gets lost, or if somebody has an injury of some kind, and that's terrible, but that sometimes is what brings them into the doctor. But what I often tell people is, I says, why don't you try to find some other medical condition that they have, or some complaint that they've been talking about lately, like mom's leg is hurting. She's been talking about that. And you know she needs to go see about her memory, but when you're talking to her, say, you know, mom, you've been talking about your leg hurting. Why don't you go see Dr. Jones about that? And maybe you'll have some better luck convincing her to go about that. And then you as a family member, provided you're on the release of information, you can send a letter ahead to Dr. Jones, or you can call Dr. Jones' staff and say, hey, listen, mom's having some memory loss. We would like to have you evaluate that, you know, while you're seeing her. She's denying that she has it. So you use the tool of another medical problem to then convince your loved one to go in. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's an option.
Surely, certainly. And, of course, you also talk about denial, and I think that family members who aren't immediately associated with the father or the mother will be in the most denial. They say, oh, dad's just getting older, because they don't see him for maybe every 6 months or something. And so they just don't accept what is going on, and they don't know how to deal with the individual when they do talk to him. And so there's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of arguing, a lot of things that happen that you really don't want to happen, because they lack the understanding of how to deal with their father or mother.
You are really touching on the issues, I'll tell you. That's a major situation. The primary caregiver, for instance, the daughter, it's often a daughter, but it can be any family member that's living closest or living with the individual or the spouse. The other family members don't see it, and therefore often don't believe it's as bad as it is. And as a matter of fact, often blame the primary caregiver for coming up with a lot of this, for complaining and that sort of thing. And that sounds awful, but it does happen quite often. So one of the things I try to do as a provider is say, listen, you know, here's the situation. Here's a statement that you can give to other family members about this, so that we need everybody to be on the same page. I'd like to have one family member that's a spokesperson that's going to speak with all of the other family members that Doc said this about this, so that we all are on the same page about this. We can't have people denying it. You know, that's going to make for terrible times down the road.
And I think it would be very difficult for the caregiver, because it makes them feel like they have absolutely no support, that they're kind of in this thing alone. And what do they do when it's all on them to take care of the situation that is going on, or the situations, the anger, the violence, the things that can occur with a person who has dementia or Alzheimer's?
That's right. Dementia and Alzheimer's. I'm sorry. Yes.
The violent
dementia in Alzheimer's is isolating. It isolates the person with the disease, but it also isolates the primary caregiver. They feel alone, just like you said. They have to handle it all themselves, but it's very important for them to know, no, you don't. There are resources. You must reach out to others. There are support groups. You've got to say, listen, I need some help. Friend, I love you. I need some help. Here's what you can do for me this week. And you can't feel guilty about that. It's just your health. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And your health is critical. You can't take care of this person without help. And it's very important to see this as a mutual road here. It's not all give. It's not all give. You have to be able to glean some growth and some uplifts out of this yourself. You know, and that's why a lot of times we use the term care partner, because it's more a reciprocal thing. You can't all give. You'll burn out.
Right. And there are support groups. Even local libraries will provide you with different resources for Alzheimer's. There's the Alzheimer's group that you can call and get help from. But it's still important that the family works together with this situation. So it's a difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. And as you said, the caregiver, if the caregiver is ill because of the stress, they're going to be resentful. They're going to be angry at the other family members. And it's not going to be a good situation.
It's not. And people who have Alzheimer's and other dementias, I tell students all the time, they are very adept at being able to judge the emotional tone of their environment. It's amazing, because they can't communicate as well verbally, but let me tell you, nonverbal cues and just the emotional tone in the room, they can pick up on it better than I can. And so if there's tension, even with a phone call to another family member, or you know, they can pick that up, and it will cause them to have angst and to be anxious. And then if you're reactive as a caregiver, guess what? You'll be anxious too, and before long, you're going down the wrong road. So you're exactly right in what you said.
Now, you refer to something called mindful listening, and you're working with a group of students and teaching them about this. These are the details in this book that are so important. You are teaching skills that we might not get in a support group. You're giving specifics. You're giving details. That's what I love about the book, is that you're not just talking about the problems. You're giving solutions. I love this book.
Well, I tell you, we need to take you around with us to places where we give talks, so you can talk about this book. This is very helpful. But I'm glad to hear you say that, because we wanted it to be helpful. You know, Maria and I both did. And you know, we feel a strong urge to give back, to pay it forward, because of what we've been through and of the kindness that people showed to us and the caregivers that loved our family members. You know, we want to give back. And one of the things that I want to do as a physician and an educator is teach students, you know, about what I've learned through this. I want to teach them. There is a person still there. The disability or the disease does not define this individual. If we're looking at only a disease and not seeing a person, we need to change our glasses. We need to be mindful. The most important thing you can do for this person is to listen to them. And I don't mean just with your ears. I'm talking about with your spirit, with your complete presence with them. And so we pair students up with folks with dementia, and they do art therapy together, and they get to know each other and befriend each other. And the students find that they are changed, they are transformed in the relationship with these individuals. And they listen. That's the most important thing I can teach them, I think.
Yeah, it's incredible. And as you say, people with Alzheimer's, some of their other characteristics, or some of their other skills or part, they become aware, and they can become anxious. For instance, if if they put things back in the wrong place and their caregiver is irritated or annoyed that they have to put everything back where it actually goes, or even if they can't find what was put back, the person with Alzheimer's recognizes that annoyance and will respond with anxiety and perhaps anger.
That is exactly right. You know, you have to make up your mind as a caregiver. Does it really matter? Does this that I'm upset about right now really matter? It matters if somebody's safety is at stake. It matters if somebody's life's at stake. But does it matter that things are in a different place than they used to be? No. Because if we get upset about that kind of thing, it's, again, it's going to make our jobs and our loved one's life more difficult. So it really, the control issue is just vital that we learn to be flexible, yeah, and go with the flow.
One of the comments you make in the book, well, in the chapter Alzheimer's and Learn to Love Again, and you state, since that person will continue changing as time goes by, one must constantly let go of the old person and accept the new one. That is so important.
I had in my mind the image of who my dad was for me. I had that image in my mind. And as I saw Dad changing daily, he got further and further from that image. So if I continue to hold on to that image and expect him to be like that, that's not fair to him. He can't be like that anymore. So I can have the image, but I have to realize that that image is no longer who exists. That's not real. So I have to love the Lester that I meet every day. And if you do that, you'll be a successful caregiver. Because you'll not only upbuild that individual, but you will also grow as a human being. You know, caregiving can bring out our worst qualities or our best qualities. And it may do so from one minute to the next. But we can intentionally focus on let it bring out our best qualities by being intentional and loving and compassionate and giving up control. Now, that is hard. I mean, of course it is. But then this is, hey, Deanna, this is not something they taught us in med school or residency, I'll just tell you that. This is something that I've learned from interacting with folks that have dementia. I learn so much from people that have dementia. I mean, they are truly our teachers. And many of them are probably more, know themselves better than we know ourselves, because they are dwelling in a different place now. And a lot of the accoutrement, the social baggage that we have, and the airs that we have to put on to live in our society, they don't do that. They're just here. They're just living. They're just existing as best they can.
Are they aware of the changes that are taking place? They undoubtedly experience fear of the unknown and what is happening. But are they aware of this, do you think?
Well, you know, it used to be taught, or I learned, that often they're not. But I believe they are. I mean, early on, I think this is, you see people changing behavior when they start having problems. They turn to their caregivers when questions are asked of them because they can't come up with the answer. They become anxious and unsure of themselves. They quit going out in public. And I think they do that because they're aware of the changes. You even hear people that are in moderate stage disease making comments that lead us to believe they're aware. And so I do believe most of them are aware, and probably are in denial themselves.
Yeah, exactly. You also state that oftentimes when people are struggling to find the right word or to finish a sentence or something, that we should allow them to take their time and not try to complete the sentence or the thought for them, but to allow them time to do that.
That is correct, and that's a hard thing to do. We want to help them. And it's we intentionally want to be kind and help them, but they need time to express themselves. So then we need to challenge ourselves, okay, be a good listener, be engaged, be patient, and let them get out what they want to say. And they usually can get it out if we just give them the time and the space to do that. You create a trusting environment for them so that they can be vulnerable. And this is better in the long run.
And if we do it for them, we are actually saying, we doubt that you can take care of this. And it's like making a child's bed after they've done their best. You let them do their best, no matter who they are. Let them do their best. Don't put them down or marginalize them by finishing things for them, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Dr. Daniel C. Potts. His website is danielcpotts.wordpress.com. And also, please visit the foundation, cognitivedynamics.org. Visit both of those websites. The other thing that I really appreciate about the book is that it allows the caregiver to develop some empathy and compassion. You teach people how to exercise those characteristics to save themselves the aggravation that they might otherwise feel. And I think that is one of the objectives of your book, is that you are helping to change the caregiver, to give them a new avenue to see things differently, to find joy in being a caregiver.
Deanna, that is the heart of the matter. That's the game changer. And I'm so glad that comes across in the book, and Marie Marley would be so glad that's the case as well. We know that if we can tap in and try to, as best we can, to get in the shoes in the life of our loved one that has this condition, and to realize that when they act this way, there's a need that they have. They may be hurting. They may be sleepy. They may be hungry. They may feel alone. Nothing looks familiar to them. We're all strangers in their world. If we can get in that mind and that life and feel what they are feeling or try to, then we will change. It's not. It has to happen. And empathy, and then we'll change the way we act. And we will begin to look at this and say, you know what, this is a privilege. This is not a burden. It's a privilege. I'm helping this individual to find home again. In fact, let me be their home. Let me provide the kind of safe, open, supportive environment that makes them feel at home again. What better can we do for somebody? Help them to sing their song again. Help them to find themselves again. So you're right. Empathy is the key. You know, someone said one time, touching that which causes us to weep unleashes the powerful fire of hope within us. Well, that's what we're doing. We are touching something that causes us to weep and becoming more compassionate, more empathetic, and more truly human in the process. That is critical.
Dr. Potts, your book has caused me to weep, for which I thank you.
Well, it's an honor. It's an honor to help, and it's an honor to be on your show and tell others about our experiences.
Well, thank you so very much for the book, and we hardly touched the surface. There's so much more to the book. There's so many things that we could talk about. I hope you'll come back.
I'd love to. God bless you.
God bless you also. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.